This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We made it. It's a Friday, and it's VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Belusis, Super Dave Ross, gearing up to get ready to be back next week on Monday. Moose, I did see some video evidence that the golf game still not where he needs it to be. Full admission from Captain America there, but glad he's enjoyed a nice week off. Been great to be with you here, my friend. A lot to get into on the show today, of course. A lot of World Cup action. Catch up with Chris Vasili here in hour number two. Thomas Gable in his customary post at 7:45 a.m. Eastern time. And then Lou Finocchiaro, as Dave alluded to yesterday, really big UFC 329 card. If you did not get a glimpse of the First Strike podcast, please do that. Great insight already in a couple of betting angles, but Sweet Lou will be with us at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. Brother, you were all over it yesterday on the World Cup side, so let's just jump right into it and get the highlights and headlines started here on a Friday.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
We say it a lot. Pays to listen to VSiN by the Books. If you listened to the Moose yesterday, congratulations. You are a winner. Deja vu indeed, as Le Bleu take it 2-0 over Morocco to punch their ticket into the semifinals. It was a rematch of 2022 in which France and Morocco met in the semifinal, and France turned the trick 2-0 to get into the World Cup final way back in Qatar. Well, they will await the winner of Spain and Belgium later on today in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium. But Moose, well done, sir. You had it nailed. Mbappe to score, France to advance. No sweat winner there, even after 0-0 at halftime. Boy, did France open it up big there in the second half.
Yeah, they did. And Kylian Mbappe to give you a goal as well. And you nailed the 2-0 final score at plus 550, which is, you'll take that, the exact score. So winners all the way around when we were listening yesterday, Jensen. So after a day off, a little bit of a respite, take a deep breath from the World Cup, we come out firing on a Thursday. And listen, France was the overwhelming favorite. I mean, they're ridiculously talented. Morocco, a really good defensive team, and they tried to make that game, let's be honest, as difficult as they could for the French team. But as the time went on, you just saw the differentiation between talent between the two teams on the field. And Morocco gave it their best shot, but you know, France, the betting favorite to win this World Cup, and you saw the reason why, remained remarkably patient, didn't give up tremendous scoring chances, were able to win, even play in Morocco's game for the majority of that game, were able to punch two through in the second half.
Yeah, France was plus $1.80 headed into that match yesterday to win the cup. They are down to plus $1.34 on DraftKings here today. As we said, they will have a watchful eye on Southern California today as Spain and Belgium do battle. Spain right now still about a $3.50 favorite to qualify. Belgium is at plus $2.70. We'll keep a watchful eye also on what Belgium starting 11 will look like. Remember, Kevin De Bruyne, Romelu Lukaku both coming off the bench against Team USA in the round of 16. Traditional starters there for the Red Devils. Will they be in there against La Roja? Kickoff at 3 p.m. Eastern time later on today. We have an issue in the NBA. We had the kind of blockbuster trade that seemed to be consummated between the LA Clippers and the Toronto Raptors. Hold everything here, people. The NBA still has an active investigation into the Los Angeles Clippers, and that means there's no firm timetable yet for not only the conclusion of the investigation, but an NBA spokesperson yesterday saying they hope to finalize their work in the coming weeks. So the business of the offseason put on pause as far as where the Toronto Raptors and the LA Clippers are. Moose, not ideal, especially for some, you know, general managers that are looking to try and really cultivate their rosters, and especially with the Summer League getting underway yesterday, you know, you want to have some guys in tow here that you need to get a good solid look at before you head into training camp later in the summer. We'll kind of keep an eye on it, but any takeaways for you now that looked like Kawhi was coming back home to the six, but that's on hold for the moment?
Yeah, strange, the timing of it. It's not like the trade went down yesterday and the NBA made the announcement. I mean, the trade went down days ago. I mean, like multiple days ago. Like this was, you know, this was right around, you know, when like just before Jaylen Brown got moved to the Philadelphia 76ers. Think about that. And then all the NBA all of a sudden comes away with this announcement. I mean, maybe they listened to those critics out there to where they were saying, well, what's going on with the investigation? And now all of a sudden Kawhi's in a dip playing in a different country, playing for the Toronto Raptors and joking around about that. And where's the NBA going to go? Is this going to disappear? Well, the NBA pushes back and says, well, it's not going to be completed until the investigation is done. Listen, I'm sure it will be at some point in time. I don't think they can put the toothpaste back in the tube, so to speak, Jensen. I'm sure it will become official, but we'll see exactly when this investigation does get done. It's not like the NBA season starts next week, so we got the Summer League going on. I'd be surprised if it doesn't become official at some point in time, but we'll see when that investigation is complete what kind of penalties the Los Angeles Clippers are facing due to that investigation.
Yeah, and just so for people that are not aware or just getting up to speed on it, it is an investigation into the Clippers focusing on whether they circumvented the salary cap by funneling money to Kawhi Leonard through his $28 million endorsement deal with the now bankrupt right. Green banking company Aspiration, which also has a $300 million 23-year endorsement deal with the team. By the way, team owner Steve Ballmer had invested $60 million into Aspiration, has denied he had knowledge of Leonard's deal. Leonard and his uncle and business advisor, Dennis Robertson, had been interviewed by investigators as part of the league's inquiry. So a lot of puzzle pieces still to be sorted out and put into place. We will see what happens there in the coming weeks. Also, you talk about adding insult to injury. This has been a huge issue now for the New York Yankees. Hey, they get a big win yesterday over the Rays. They achieve a series split there, taking two, the first game and last game, bookending that series split at Tropicana Field. But Brian Cashman was available to the media yesterday and gave some intriguing updates on two of the big superstars, All-Star Aaron Judge and also Giancarlo Stanton. Now, the update on Aaron Judge seems to be a bit murky in that they will get his rib cage re-imaged here over the All-Star break, and they do not expect, Moose, for that imaging to come back clean. Now, he has been really limited in upper body exercises, and that is prolonging the rehab timetable. The other domino here is that Giancarlo Stanton has been rehabbing a calf injury for what feels like forever. Well, he has a new injury to the same injured calf during his rehab. So that now adds another wrinkle to where the Yankees are headed into this All-Star break and even what their trade deadline aspirations may be. What a ridiculous couple of weeks here where the Yankees have been trying to figure out not only on the field issues, but now, Moose, knowing that Aaron Judge likely to still have bigger fish to fry, if you will, with that rehab timeline.
Right. And the question you have is, and the thought process was maybe mid-August for Judge, right? So you get Cashman, you know, meeting with the media and speaking to them. So now you say to yourself, well, is he going to be back in August at all, right? When does Judge get back? Is it going to be September? Where are the Yankees going to be when he does return? You know, a little bit of a reclarification when you look at Giancarlo Stanton, that injury, because it came out weeks ago that, you know, he had a quote unquote setback during his rehab process. Right. And so people are like, OK, well, then it shouldn't be all that long. Boom met with the media before the start of the Tampa series and basically was like, listen, he's not running. What's the timeline? Well, we don't really have one. Well, are you going to see him again this season? Yeah, I think so. And then Cashman gives you a little bit of clarity and basically says it wasn't him having a setback. He actually re-injured it again. So let's look at it. I mean, after the first one, the Yankees didn't think he was going to go on the IL, and he missed, you know, 45 games before having that quote-unquote setback, which we now know was a re-injury. So When exactly is Giancarlo Stanton going to be back with this team? I mean, who knows? He's a remarkably slow healer, Jensen. It's crazy when you look at a guy that's as in good of a shape as he is. His body just does not heal all that quickly. So not good news for the Bombers off the field, on the field. They finally get themselves a win.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see the Yankees finish up the first half of the season in the nation's capital against the Washington Nationals. And we will also hear from Brian Cashman later on the show specifically about both of those players and an outlook here for the Yankees moving forward. Outlook is bright here if you are in the ladies' draw for Wimbledon. Two exceptional semifinal matches yesterday. Linda Nuskova ends up moving on, and Carolina Muhova, oh my goodness, one of the great luck draws, if you will, on match point when Coco Gauff basically had the winner in her grasp, and one of the big blunders, oopsies, maybe in tennis major history. But that is the ladies' final as those two will meet. We have the men's semifinals getting underway shortly here later this morning. It's Alexander Zverev, and Arthur Ferry. Remember the big 500-1 long shot, Arthur Ferry into the semifinal, the fourth wild card in the Open era to reach a Grand Slam semifinal. And then, of course, the one we are all focused on, number one overall, Jannik Sinner against Novak Djokovic. 10th time Djokovic has found his way, or 11th time, I should say, into the semis. He has been to the Wimbledon final 10 times. Sinner does lead this head-to-head series all time, 6-5. The last time they met was in the Australian Open semifinal. That is when the Joker ended up defeating Jannik Sinner. What will happen at the All England Club today? We'll keep you locked and loaded and updated as we go. Yes, round two underway at the Scottish Open too. We'll keep you updated on where that leaderboard is. We have a rabbit, and it's not the man you thought it would be. Jordan Smith, 7-under today, 9-under for the tournament. He's your leader. What about the World Cup today? We'll talk all that and more when you come back.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Hey, no shortage of betting opportunities this summer. Obviously, daily Major League Baseball, the World Cup winding down. Boy, are we going to miss it. Well, football is on the horizon, people, and it's a perfect time to lock in our VSiN football special for just $175. You'll get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl. That includes access to our freshly released NFL betting guide, futures, win totals, division races, everything you need to get ready for the upcoming season. You also have the access to our daily best bets, real-time betting slips from DraftKings and Circa, the AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. It's as good as it gets. $175. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe. VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis, Mark Malus is back with you here on a Friday. What a way to start the quarterfinal round yesterday in the World Cup. 0-0 at halftime. A little cagey, perhaps, watching the way that Morocco were trying to work without their best striker. But it just felt like the calm before the storm here, Moose. You could tell just kind of France gathering strength, looking for counterattacks. Even with Kylian Mbappe getting a penalty kick and not being able to convert, I don't know what it is with these star players. Messi's had his issues, Mbappe with a strike not characteristic of his quality. But hey, all's well that ends well. A couple of goals, including Mbappe getting that first goal score. Remember, we gave that out yesterday with the DraftKings insurance promo that you would get a bonus bet back if your original selection did not score that first goal but would score later in the match. Doesn't matter. Mbappe gets home as a first goal scorer at plus 270, so congratulations if you tailed that. 2-0 is the final. France moves on to the semifinal. They await the winner of Spain and Belgium later on today. I'll get your takeaway, Moose, on just quickly where you thought France was yesterday. Did you also agree, just from the handicap, not a matter of if, just a matter of when France would finally break through and put this one away?
Yeah, you know, and even with, you know, and the pressure is real when you watch these matches as they go along, and it's nil-nil and it's scoreless and nobody wants to make the critical mistake. Nobody wants to, end up costing their country, their nation, you know, an opportunity to go out there and move through. But yeah, with who was out for Morocco, with the way that, you know, Morocco's style, I think they only allowed 4 goals so far through the World Cup for Morocco up until that point in time. They had that unbelievable winning streak in terms of matches. I think it was 34 going into yesterday afternoon, you know, up in Boston, up at Gillette Stadium, Jensen. But as it went along, yeah, I just thought, you know, as everybody has talked about, a ridiculously talented French team. Mbappe is unbelievable. He really is. And we'll get to the golden boot odds here momentarily. And you just got a sense that once Morocco made a critical mistake, France was going to be able to break through. And never got a sense that Morocco was going to be able to respond. You know, that game, I think, needed to be scoreless, nil-nil, going into extra time and potentially get to penalties. Like, there was a way Morocco needed to see their way through, do their limitations. But I think overall, similar to watching the Spain-Portugal match, to where it was like, well, it's just a matter of time until Spain breaks through and they end up winning that match 1-0. I got the same sense yesterday watching France and Morocco.
Yep. And again, when you look at France and kind of the way that they have overwhelmed opponents in the second half, it did feel that it was just a matter of time before they were able to put Morocco away. So France does move on. You mentioned the golden boot, and depending on what book you're at, some of the shorter odds, plus $1.05, Kylian Mbappe, your leader over Lionel Messi, as he gets the goal to come level with 8 goals in the World Cup, coming right next to Lionel Messi, plus 105 now for Mbappe. Also seeing plus $1.10 at DraftKings. So again, shop around for your best price. Messi is plus 140 on DraftKings, seeing some plus $1.50s out there as well. When we look towards the match today, and again, that is Spain and Belgium. Spain, still again, a decided favorite to qualify. They are minus 340. That has come down just slightly. Yesterday, they were about $3.50 favorite to qualify. Belgium plus 260 on the comeback there. The money line price for 90 minutes plus stoppage time. Spain is minus $1.60. Belgium plus 450. The draw is plus 295. Now remember, Spain in 5 matches in the World Cup has yet to concede. And it is certainly a look here for Spain win to nil. That is an angle, Mark, that I'm definitely considering, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And boy, what do we know? The later you get into the knockout stages here, obviously you're going to see some teams be a bit more conservative. I know that Belgium have been able to have a lot of chances, a lot of high danger opportunities, but it just feels the way that La Roja is going right now. We could almost go back to a similar handicap that we had yesterday, a Spain win parlayed with an under, whether you want to be 2.5 or get a little more safety to 3.5, that might be the way to go. Do you find any avenue where Belgium can put one into the net and really give a little panic to this Spain side? Or is this just, hey, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when? Rinse and repeat, exactly the handicap we had yesterday for France.
Well, I think we feel decidedly different about Belgium coming off their match against the United States than we did in their previous matchup, right? And I think the reason why is, I don't know if that necessarily was because of the brilliance of a Belgium team where they've got some older stars, or was it because the United States was terrible, right? And we talked about it, or a combination thereof, right? So we talked about that earlier in the week. Now you're looking at Belgium. So what is the right, you know, team to look at, right? When you do this handicap against Spain. Spain, I think, at times has played around. I don't even think they've played their best soccer up until this point in time, but they haven't had to, right? They're still they're not the betting favorite, but still one of the top choices to win the World Cup this year. And everyone's anticipating an unbelievable semifinal between Spain and France in the next round, should Spain get through this afternoon. I like where your head's at, Jensen. I do. I mean, I kind of like to look at it. Can I see Belgium breaking through with Lukaku? And yeah, I mean, I guess I could see them scoring a goal, but Spain's defense has been ridiculously good, right? And they don't beat themselves. They don't like to take high-risk chances. I think there's times where you look at and say, well, there's another level that Spain can get to, and I would agree with that, but is that this afternoon against this Belgium team, or is it the next round where some have handicapped and said they actually match up pretty well when you're looking at their matchup against France potentially? We'll all see that together, and I think Spain's going to get through, but similar kind of a handicap, and you and I are kind of sharing a brain on this Friday morning to where I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I would take the under. I would take Spain minus the $1.60 in 90 minutes and in extra time, or, you know, injury time, however way you want to look at it. I do think Spain wins this match, something to the neighborhood of either 1-0 or 2-0, something like that. I don't think Belgium breaks through. I think Belgium's more the team that we saw before they took on the United States than the team that we saw against the United States. I think that was just a separation of a motivated Belgium team with everything going on with Flo down low and him, you know, having that, you know, red card taken away or the suspension taken away and everything that came along with that. They were extremely motivated. And I think you saw a United States team that played really poorly on Monday up in Seattle. I'm not going to overreact to that. I think that had to do more with the United States than it did Belgium. And I think Belgium, we see that this afternoon against Spain.
So if you don't want to lay the 340 for Spain to advance, I think the smart play is to take the under 3.5 in 90 minutes plus stoppage time and then parlay that with Spain to advance. That gets you on DraftKings, that two-leg parlay to minus $1.20. Much more palatable there on the price point. That also protects you from going into the extra time should Spain not be able to win it there in the 90 minutes plus stoppage time. So some, you know, different way to make a correlated play, if you will. If you do think it is much lower scoring as far as the under 2.5, that is actually plus $1.05 at DraftKings. The over is juiced to minus $1.30. So interesting little caveat there. If you do think that Belgium find their way through, to me, that the only way the over hits in the regulation period is if Belgium find a way to score. Now, for that to happen, I think you could also look, if you think they score period, I think you might want to look at some of the team props here. The team total goals is interesting that Belgium over, at least to score, is minus $1.94. So I would say that both teams to score, instead of, you know, laying the big price there, I would say you could look more at the match prop of both teams to score, including extra time, at minus $1.45. Or if you want to take a little bit more risk, it's 20 cents cheaper to take both teams to score in 90 minutes plus stoppage time at minus $1.25. But I'll go back to my refrain from yesterday. I think it's almost an identical handicap to what we had yesterday, Mark. It's the superior side in Spain. It's the defense that has been the best here in the World Cup. I think you'd take La Roja to advance and parlay that with the under 3.5 in the 90 minutes regulation plus stoppage time minus $1.20. That would be my best bet here for the match today. Been a lot of fun to handicap that. Been a lot of fun to take a look around the rest of the sports landscape. We got some interesting comments from the general manager of the New York Yankees, Brian Cashman, an update on Aaron Judge and his injury timeline. When will he return? Plus, Coco Gauff, a huge gaffe yesterday in Wimbledon, when you come back.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Rolling along on a Friday edition of VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Melusis. A lot of fun yesterday handicapping a little more of an abbreviated slate in Major League Baseball. Nice 4-unit winner yesterday overall on my picks. So congratulations for those that tailed at VSiN.com as pro subscribers. We also got some news yesterday in Tampa Bay here, Moose. I know a lot of people have been kind of clamoring for an update here on Yankee slugger Aaron Judge. Well, general manager Brian Cashman was in Tampa. He's there with the rest of the Yankee brass. They will be conducting their meetings and doing the Major League Baseball amateur draft, which begins over the weekend there from their compound in Tampa. But he did take some questions from the media addressing two of their bigger injury concerns, namely Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. Here is Brian Cashman on the timeline for Aaron Judge and an update on his injury.
It's about the 6 week mark for Aaron Judge. Has he been re-imaged yet? Is there a plan to have him re-imaged?
Yeah, we're going to re-image him during the All-Star break. So that'll give us a real idea of where that currently sits. But I don't think we want to put him at risk, you know, of coming back while still injured, which would imply, again, he should be asymptomatic before we turn him loose. So I think if he's asymptomatic and not feeling anything, and they're showing healing, then I think it's probably appropriate to get him going again. But we don't want to, you know, because the schedule is what it is, put him in a position where we're putting him in jeopardy, where, you know, somehow it gets worse.
Okay, that is Yankees general manager Brian Cashman. Also, just some specifics here, Moose, and I'll get your take. It was reported that Cashman also alluded to the fact that the imaging they anticipate would not be clean, meaning that they were still going to get some issue there in the upper body and the rib cage. Now, he has had a real, real problem, and he's been very limited doing any upper body workouts or anything in earnest to really strengthen and get himself ready to find his way back. You had mentioned the timetable, mid to late August. I would assume on the aggressive side that that's probably right. Never want to hear that they already anticipate the imaging not being clean, but this is on the heels now of Giancarlo Stanton, for people just joining us, that injured his calf that was already injured and he was rehabbing. Completely new injury from Giancarlo Stanton. It does not sound like he is anywhere close to coming back. We're like 3 weeks and change from the trade deadline. It's a major issue for the Yankees to have to deal with, knowing that they're going to have to make some moves potentially in the dark with the timetables of both Judge and Stanton not really clarified.
Yeah, and you throw in the fact that they don't have Max Fried, who's dealing with that bone bruise in his pitching elbow, so you take him out of it, right? Cole can be hit and miss, Rodon back on the IL. You look at this lineup outside of yesterday, it has not been particularly good. We talked about that, you know, yesterday morning, Jensen. Yeah, it's concerning, but here's the thing. Like, Cashman, you know, can't replace Judge, right? So you're not going to be able to go out and get anybody that's going to replicate what Aaron Judge does for this team, and they're going to handle him with kid gloves. It took him multiple days to be able to find the injury initially, that he was dealing with this broken right lower rib on his right side as he was dealing with discomfort, and he was really, really struggling. So I think the big key for Yankee fans is that he'll be back at some point this year, and that you're hopeful that he has enough runway to where you get your prototypical version of Aaron Judge come playoff time. With Stanton, it's like kind of a roll of the dice. I don't know when we're going to see Giancarlo Stanton. I don't know if you necessarily need him, you know, in the regular season. I mean, this lineup could use him, but, you know, he's been a remarkable October performer, Jensen. So the problem with Giancarlo Stanton, and that's why the Yankees have the fear of ever playing him in the outfield again, is that when he does get hurt, and it's a lot of lower body injuries, it takes him forever to return. It really does. It's not from a lack of work ethic or pride or anything like that. He's kind of one of the leaders in that Yankee clubhouse that doesn't get credit for having leadership. If you ever see him in person, and I have on multiple occasions, you know, he's a statuesque individual that you'd say to yourself, like, you know, how is he a slow healer? But he is a slow healer. So I think with the trade deadline here about, you know, 3 weeks away, I think the keys for the Yankees are simple. I think they've got to address that bullpen. They probably have four relievers that they completely trust. I think the catching situation, despite the fact that Wells hit a home run yesterday, the catching situation or lack of offensive production has been an issue. So I think that's an area where the Yankees would like to, maybe a Luis Torrens or an Alvarez from the New York Mets. Maybe it's a Ryan Jeffers from the Minnesota Twins, something of that nature. But I think the Yankees will try and address a catcher. Third base has been an issue because McMahon's not particularly good offensively, although he had a great 12-pitch at-bat yesterday. Defensively, he's really, really good. But I think a lot of the answers offensively have got to come from within. Ben Rice, Bellinger, you know, Jazz Chisholm when he's healthy. Those are the guys that are going to have to really, Trent Grisham, throw him into the mix as well. They're going to need a lot more from those guys, and it's got to look different where you play a clean brand of baseball and you lean into that power pitching and the starting rotation.
Yankees get the win 12-4. Ben Rice with two homers, five RBI yesterday. They remain four games behind the Tampa Bay Rays there for the top spot in the American League East. Rays right now move to an odds-on favorite, minus $1.40 to win the American League East, the Yankees at plus $1.20. Want to ask you one more question because the Detroit Tigers continue to be an absolute force here. They win again yesterday over the Athletics, and they have shortened now to plus 475 to win the American League Central. Now, the Guardians avoided the sweep yesterday at the hands of the Minnesota Twins, and with the White Sox getting swept by the Boston Red Sox, who, oh, by the way, have won six in a row, have won eight of their last 10, and are creeping ever closer into the wild card picture. The White Sox now are level with the Guardians atop the American League Central, the Twins just two back. But now the Detroit Tigers, even seven games under 500, are 4.5 back of the top spot in the American League Central, and the wild card race continues to jumble itself even further. Tigers are 3.5 back of the Seattle Mariners, Red Sox and Blue Jays 2.5 back. The Astros are 1.5 back, and the Minnesota Twins 1 back of Seattle. A wild, wild race on the American League side about to ensue here when we get into the second half of the season. A wild finish in Wimbledon yesterday in the ladies semifinals. My goodness gracious. Karolina Muchova was on the ropes, match point for Coco Gauff. And oh my goodness, the gimme ends up going into the net for Gauff. She would end up losing the match when she had it right in her grasp, a drop shot that she will remember for the rest of her life. She bows out as Muchova ends up moving on as the short favorite, minus $1.22 yesterday. Coco Gauff gathered herself and talked to the media post-match yesterday about how she missed on match point.
There's one thing to be like, oh, why play a drop shot? But then I also think about how many points I won off the drop shot. So it's like, yes, people who don't watch tennis are going to be like, why did you do that? But at the end of the day, it's like, that's the choice I made. Was it the right one in that moment? Maybe not. But then also, if I make it, everyone's going to say how clutch of a shot that was. So I think that's just tennis. You lose some points off margins. Honestly, the return came back like in a tricky place for me, and I didn't expect it to, the bounce caught me off guard. So I just panicked a little bit, but I think it just takes moments like this to learn from and have a more of a clear, concise plan of what I want to do. But at the end of the day, I left it all out there, and my only regret, I don't have any regrets. I think it's just obviously points I want to make better decisions on, but that's how you learn and become a better player.
I can only imagine back at Master Control there in Las Vegas when the numbers game had this on yesterday, just the anguish for those that had Gauff tickets and watching that live. It feels, and again, this is the beauty of sport here, Mark, and I can tell you wholeheartedly, when something looks so easy and you've done it millions of times, the one time it doesn't go for you in the biggest of moments can set you back even after the match. So anxious to see how Coco Gauff is able to get back up in her next tournament. As it stands, again, it's Linda Nuskova and Karolina Muchova who will be there for the ladies' final tomorrow. Today, we have the men's semifinal. It's Alexander Zverev against Arthur Ferry, and it's Jannik Sinner against Novak Djokovic. Odds decidedly for Zverev, minus 720 against one of the great long shot stories in Wimbledon history, Arthur Ferry, 500-1 to win this tournament at the beginning. He's only the fourth wild card in the open era to reach a Grand Slam semifinal. And then the match we all hoped we would get to transpire. World number one, Jannik Sinner, minus 450 is what you got to lay on the money line. Novak Djokovic, plus 340. Are we going to be tuned in after you and I sign off for a little Sinner Joker magic here, Moose?
Yeah, no doubt. Just and that Muchova Gauff match was amazing yesterday. Especially, I mean, the tiebreak was crazy. The wave of emotions. But yeah, Wimbledon's great, especially when you get late. And the Ferry story is just remarkable. I mean, to be 500-1 before this tournament started, and be sitting there right now 5-1 for a guy from Britain. I mean, it's just a remarkable story. It really is. So yeah, that's why you got to watch.
Got to watch and got to listen next, because Thomas Gable joins us from the Borgata, talking all things futures next.
You're tuned in VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Happy Friday to all of you tuning us in, making us a part of your morning wherever you may be listening or watching. We appreciate you every single day. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Melusa, Super Dave Ross is back at the Kentucky and Tennessee border. He will return on Monday in his customary post. Speaking of customary posts, it's not a Friday without Thomas Gable, director of race and sports at the Borgata, joins us as always on a Friday morning here on the Progressive Guest Line. Sir, always great to catch up with you. I know the World Cup has been great from a patriotic standpoint. I have to imagine the right for you guys on the United States-Belgium match, not necessarily making up for your part of the country where the Knicks were bet heavily left, right, and center, but I'm sure it alleviated a little bit more of that deficit with what the knockout stage has been for you so far.
Yeah, I kind of wish the United States could be knocked out twice, but it was good, and certainly a good result for us. You know, we were joking off air, you know, we can pay the electric, but we had to go on the plan with the electric company after the Knicks loss. We had to go on the payment plan, but this enabled us to get off the payment plan with the electric company. So now we can pay the bills on time as we typically do.
Thomas, what is the expected handle of the World Cup and matches here moving forward without the United States being involved?
Well, the knockout round's been great. I mean, the handle certainly increased from the group stage into the knockout round. There's just a lot more interest in the knockout round. Obviously, you have the big boys now still remaining. And, you know, just for instance, with France yesterday, that game, a tremendous handle on these. I mean, you're writing well into NFL-size handle for these knockout games. So, you know, Belgium, Spain should be fantastic today. Spain, obviously, in the to qualify market, heavy favorite, -325 and to qualify. But and even on the three-way line, you're still laying $1.60 on Spain. But I think with Belgium, especially them being the ones to knock out the United States, you're seeing some casual money come in on Belgium, maybe thinking that they're a little bit better than what they really are. In reality, Belgium is not one of the premier teams left in this tournament, and that's reflected in their overall odds to win the World Cup. I mean, they're still sitting at around 33-1, 35-1, somewhere in that range to win the World Cup. So they obviously have a tough path if they were to even get this done today. Overall, I think the one team that's kind of captured a lot of the casual imagination has been Norway. And, whether it's Holland who, you know, again, people who don't necessarily watch soccer, but they've seen now Holland play a few games. And I mean, the guy looks like a Viking, right? He's built like a Viking. He's so great representative of Norway there. And Norway's been attracting a lot of handle in their games and in their futures as well. They're actually our worst case team remaining in this tournament. We're a pretty decent sized loser to Norway, and obviously they go tomorrow late afternoon, early evening here East Coast time against England.
We actually caught up with the maestro, Mike Palm, yesterday. I asked him the same question, TG. I'll pose it to you as well. He had said they're actually in great shape if it's France, if it's Spain, the way that those two heavy favorites were coming into the tournament. So if Spain were to advance here, obviously we're going to get one of those teams into the final. Where do you guys sit on England? There's a certain rooting interest here with my co-host on the Three Lions. He's got a nice ticket in pocket here. I made the analogy, TG, and I'm anxious where you would come down on the NFL side. Norway, England feel like watching the Rams and the Seahawks do battle last year on the NFL side. Where are you with England with Harry Kane? And do you guys have any liability for the Golden Boot race as well?
So England is a phenomenal result for us in the futures. England, Spain, Argentina, that's our best case scenario right there, any of those three. France, we're basically break even on. And again, Norway's where our loser is in the remaining. Obviously, Belgium, Switzerland, those teams that still have kind of the decidedly harder path, so to speak, and their odds reflect that into the 30s. We're okay with them as well. But, you know, I think England with Harry Kane, it's interesting. England was kind of that team, at least in the futures, and maybe due to their price. I mean, they certainly have been haven't been getting much of a return on them. Not the most popular in terms of the futures, but you know, Messi obviously attracts a ton of attention, especially in the Golden Boot market, just because it's Messi. He definitely gets that casual money on him, and obviously Mbappe as well. So it's going to be an interesting Golden Boot race here, and it certainly has been. The stars have risen to the top, which is what you want to see, and I'm sure FIFA is quite happy with that. It's been a great tournament so far.
Thomas, want to ask you about UFC 329, and the return of Conor McGregor. What kind of handle, what do you expect in terms of anticipation of this event?
Yeah, so it's interesting. The McGregor-Holloway fight's an interesting one because, I mean, here we are in 2026, and, you know, McGregor, who we haven't seen in a number of years inside the octagon, is once again doing what he has always done in the betting markets, and that's take money. If you look back when McGregor was in his prime and at his peak, you would typically, if you wanted to bet McGregor's opponent, you would always wait until the last moment, because the price point on McGregor, the market always moved towards him. And, you know, no matter who his opponent was, and obviously even that boxing match that he did against Mayweather years ago, where it was kind of this huge betting opportunity for those who were kind of in the know, and they wanted Mayweather. They knew they wanted Mayweather. You just waited until all that McGregor money poured in. So I was interested to see here in 2026 if this was going to be kind of the same thing that we would see with, would we see that same effect in the betting market with McGregor? And we have so far. You know, we opened up him over a $3 underdog. Now we still have probably one of the better prices posted on him. We're at plus 195, but you're seeing him, you know, as low as like plus 170 range right now. I've seen some prices out there on him. So McGregor's, and we've been getting McGregor money. And, you know, with the UFC, it's always, you know, 98% of that handle is coming in the day of, and a lot of it directly, the time directly leading into the fight. There's just so much action that comes in. So I think, again, if you're looking to bet Holloway here in this fight, you wait until, and if you see his price come down to around the kind of the $2 range, that's where I think you're going to see a lot of respect and money jump in on Holloway. I think they're just kind of like laying in wait right now, because at least in the early going, you are seeing the same effect that you've always seen with McGregor fights, where, you know, money's going to pour in. He still obviously has that fan base out there. That's what I was kind of hoping to see, if we would get that same kind of effect in the market. And thus far, the early money has certainly been on McGregor. And I think as we get closer to fight time on Saturday night, he's going to continue to take money, and you're going to continue to see this price drop here on Holloway. And you can get a much better price if you wait.
Got about 30 seconds with you, TG. We are going to be fast and furious into football season here on the horizon. NFC South, I know a division that you're targeting. Biggest take for you right now before we get into the preseason?
Well, I think this is a division that really anybody can win out of the four teams. You have the Carolina Panthers won that division last year with a losing record, but you're seeing this division priced really with any of the four teams having a chance. I think if you're looking at it right now, if you're forcing me to make a play, I would probably be looking at the Atlanta Falcons plus 375. New head coach there was Stefanski getting the job. And I think whether it's Penix or Tua under center, they have a ton of weapons that those guys can throw to. So they have the playmakers. I think the offense is going to be just fine. They retain their defensive coordinator there, Jeff Ulbrich. So I think if you're taking any of these, I would personally look at the Falcons.
You are going to make Super Dave Ross very happy because that's the team that he likes as well. Always a pleasure when we get to take a Friday with Thomas Gable, director of race and sports at the Borgata, joins us as always on the Progressive Guest Line. Highlights and headlines. If you're just joining us, we have one team into the semifinal in the World Cup. Who will their foe be? We'll know after today. Come back on VSiN by the